It's good to see everyone here this evening. Good to see all of you. I want to thank everyone for being here. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 3. Psalms chapter 3. What's that time of year where you don't know whether you should leave the heaters on or leave the air conditioners on? You need the heater in the morning, and you need the air conditioner in the afternoon. And you just don't know what to do. Don't know whether the wind's going to blow or whether it's going to rain or snow or what's going to happen. Thought we were going to get blown away the other day. Psalm chapter number 3, we'll read the entire psalm. I'm going to take our title from verse number 8. Where David says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Psalm chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, verse number 1 says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid when 10,000s of people have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. We're going to take that little phrase there, salvation belongs to the Lord, and I do believe that, I almost said Paul, but I do believe that David believed that with all of his heart, that salvation belonged to the Lord. But I want to focus on how that played out in his life and what that compelled him to do in his life. And we'll see three things that it compelled him to do out of this chapter right here. And it ought to compel us to do something. If we have genuine faith, if we say that we believe something, we believe that salvation belongs to God, well then it ought to be evident in our lives and not just something that we profess. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have blessed us with. We thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for bringing us here this evening. Father, I pray that you would help us and open up our eyes and open up our hearts to the word of God so that we might know what you want us to learn. We cannot get it aside from your spirit because we believe that this book is a supernatural book and only you can illuminate us on what it means and what you want us to know from it, Father. So I pray that you do so this evening. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start by asking you a question this evening. Is your faith genuine? All of us, I'm sure, would have some kind of faith that we believe in, or we'd say that we're saved or we have been saved, but is your faith genuine? If you believe that salvation is in the Lord alone, how is it seen or how is it manifested in your day-to-day life? The Bible tells us in James chapter number 2 that faith without works is dead. The Bible says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also, being alone. And our faith cannot be alone. It cannot be just be something that we say, but nothing is happening or shown forth in our lives from our faith. David is saying a lot of things here in this chapter, and I don't believe that it's just something that he says. I don't believe that it's something that he just professes to believe and says it with his mouth, but he actually does something about it, and it compels him to do several things. And I believe that true, genuine, saving faith will have works to go with it. Now, I don't believe that works are the root of your salvation, but I believe that works are the fruit of your salvation. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God will bring forth those works in your life evident for all to see, for all genuine believers. I don't believe that you can work your way to salvation, as we all know that here this evening. I don't believe that any of you would believe that for one second. I don't believe that any of you are self-righteous and believe that you can work your way to heaven or work your way into God's favor or anything of that sort. But works should be manifest or evident in our life. If you were to read the faith chapter in Hebrews chapter number 11, you'd read about Enoch and Abel and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Rahab. All of these people had faith, but they did something about their faith. Abel brought a sacrifice that was more excellent than Cain's. Enoch walked with God. Noah built an ark. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. Rahab was willing to hide the spies. So there were some works associated with the faith that they said that they believed, and that should be evident in our lives here today. David is the same way. He says, man, salvation is of the Lord. Now this psalm right here was written by David, and it is believed that David wrote this psalm when he was on the run from his own son Absalom. Absalom had formed a conspiracy against David and tried to overtake his kingdom. As a matter of fact, he did. He stood at the gate of Jerusalem and persuaded the men and the women to follow him instead of his father David. And he overtook the kingdom, and David had to get out on the run and had to run away from Jerusalem and run away from Absalom. So he's in a tough time here, having a tough time of life. And as he had this hard time and as he was on the run, his faith was evident that it was genuine and not something that he just said that he believed. And so the Holy Spirit inspired him to write the words in verse number 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Each and every one of us are going to run into some problems and difficulties and hard times in your life. It's not all going to be cake and ice cream and puppies and all kinds of just wonderful things in life. You're going to run into some hard stuff.
That's right.
And you know what? Your faith is going to be tested. You know, God is good, but God is good all the time. Amen. Not just some of the time, but all the time. And what are you going to do when things get hard? Things don't go your way. And it's not all ice cream and cake all the time. What happens whenever you lose a loved one or something happens in your life? He says, salvation belongs to the Lord. I believe the word salvation here he's using is, of course, in a physical sense, physical salvation from his enemies. Probably not spiritual deliverance or spiritual salvation, but physical deliverance. But we can apply it in both ways. He says, salvation belongs to the Lord. It's his. Salvation is the Lord's. It's not David's. It's not human beings. It's not people. It's not man. It's not religion. It's not your good works. It's none of those things. It belongs to God. It's in his possession. He owns it. And if you want salvation here this evening and you've never been born again and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't look within yourself to try and find something that's good on the inside of you to where you can stand before God and be holy and righteous before him, because there's nothing there.
Amen.
Nothing of worth that will help you to be righteous before God. God has all the righteousness that you need, and it's in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah said in Jonah chapter 2 and verse number 9, salvation is of the Lord. That means it originates with the Lord. It flows from the Lord. It does not originate with man. It does not flow from man. It is outside the ability or the realm of man to save himself. None of you or none of me or none of us are strong enough to save ourselves. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:5, cursed be the man that trusts in man. You're cursed if you trust in man and not in the Lord. And makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. Yet people do that all the time. They do it every day. They're trusting in someone besides Jesus Christ. They're trusting in something besides Jesus Christ. But then Jeremiah says, two verses later in that same chapter, he says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." What's your hope in here this evening? Is it in God or in yourself? You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Amen. Now, if you have that faith here this evening, I hope it's genuine. Because there's going to be something evident in your life if you believe that. It's going to work out in your life somehow. You're going to be able to see that. Now, why in the world would God save any of us? Because He loved us. That's the only reason. Amen. The Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, I believe that we all have that faith here this evening. David believed it, and I think that you believe it here this evening. And his faith was tested, and he did something about it. If you believe that salvation belongs to the Lord, what does it drive you to do? David did three things in this chapter. We'll see in verse 4, 5, and 6. Number one, he was prayerful. He did something about it. He prayed to God. He was in trouble. And man, he went to God in prayer. Where do you go in times of trouble? Is your first line of defense or your first line of communication the Lord, or is it someone else? He was prayerful, number one. He was peaceful, number two. And number three, he was fearless. But let's look at prayerful first. He says in verse number four, he says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice." He says, "Man, I am in trouble. My own son is after me. My own son has brought up a conspiracy against me, and he's trying to overtake the kingdom. And man, there's an army after me, and they're going to kill me if they get a hold of me. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Man, I'm going to have to go to the Lord, because He's the only one that can help me." Who's your help here this evening? When things go bad and things get bad for you, where do you go? Do you go to prayer? Do you go to God? Do you pray, or maybe go to some other guru, or worry about it like I do about half the time, thinking I can worry my way out of the situation and it doesn't do nothing for me but help me to lose sleep? That's about it. We have to go to God in prayer. Those with genuine faith are people of prayer. Ought to be a praying church here this evening. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian, but David found himself in the minority. Man, all of Jerusalem was against him. Everybody was trying out to get him. Man, he had to run to the hills, and he was on the run. He was betrayed by his own son. He says in verse number one, "How are they increased?" He says in verse number one, "that trouble me." And there's a lot of people against him. He says, "Many are they that rise up against me." Verse 2 says, "Many are they which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." Man, he thought he was in trouble. So he had to go to God in prayer. Where do you go in times of trouble? He was feeling powerless and helpless, alone and fleeing Jerusalem, but he was a man of prayer. Man, he got into trouble. He fell into sin. He got into sin with Bathsheba. He had Uriah the Hittite killed, and he committed adultery and did all these wicked things. And the first thing that he did was he went to God. You read Psalm chapter number 51, you'll find out about his prayer that he prayed to God. Man, he had trouble with enemies. What's the first thing he did? He went to God in prayer. Hey, man, if you've got faith here this evening, and it's a genuine faith, you're going to go to God in prayer. You're going to pray to God and ask Him for help. This Christian life that we have, there is no guarantee that everybody's going to love you. There is no guarantee in this life that everything's going to be roses and peaches. Man, there is no guarantee in this life that your kids are going to turn out right. There is no guarantees in this life. So we ought to pray to God and ask Him for help. Man, we can't afford to be prayerless Christians. We got to be people of prayer. Jesus Christ Himself told His disciples, He says, "Don't be surprised if the world hates you." Man, that ought to drive you to prayer here this evening. Man, we got enemies out there. You got a lot of enemies out there. You got the world, the flesh, and the devil. Your own self is against you sometimes. Your own self will get you in trouble sometimes. You ever look back on your life and say, "Man, how in the world did I get there?" What in the world was I thinking? I got myself in trouble. You know why? You got an enemy in yourself. You got sin that abides in your flesh. You got sin in yourself that's going to lead you astray. You got the devil that's after you. He's trying to shoot all those fiery darts into your mind and lead you away from the truth of the Word of God. What do some people do whenever they get in trouble sometimes? Man, they worry, got anxiety, get all worked up, and they don't know what to do. Man alive, they try to react and fix the problem on their own, and they don't know what to do. That's not the reaction of a Christian. Christian goes to God in prayer immediately. Sometimes people do nothing. They just let it ride. They don't do anything. We ought to go to God in prayer. If we're going to have genuine faith, number one, we ought to pray earnestly. Pray earnestly. What does he say in the verse? He says, I cried unto the Lord. He didn't start quoting a prayer. I mean, if that's okay, if that's what you do. But sometimes prayer, I mean, we can get monotonous with those prayers. Man, we said them so many times that we just don't change up the words or anything. They're not flowing from our hearts the way that they ought to. But man, he was in a lot of trouble. And he cried unto the Lord. Man, is your prayer life fervent like it ought to be? Is it earnest like it ought to be? Do you pray to God like you should when you get into trouble? Man, it ought to be an earnest prayer. He said, I cried unto the Lord. The Bible says in James 5, verse 13 to 17, talks about prayer. Talks about a man named Elijah, man. The Bible says that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Man, that's an earnest prayer. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you go to God in prayer when you ought to? Do you pray earnestly? He says, I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto the Lord. We ought to pray immediately too. Hey man, first sign of trouble, where do you go? That's what David did. He said, man, I got some trouble. I'm going to God and I'm going immediately, man. Don't wait. Don't wait a couple of years and think, man, I should have prayed about that. Go to God immediately, right on the spot, and pray to God. I read the story here. I have this little clipping here. It says, there was once a godless seaman who was in a boat fishing with his companions. When a storm came up which threatened to sink the ship, his companions begged him to pray to God and say something to him. He said, no, I don't want to pray. I don't want to pray. Man, they were about to lose their lives, and they were all on that ship. The ship was being tossed to and fro with the waves and wind. And he said, man, pray something to your God. And he said, man, I haven't prayed to God in 15 years. Been a long time. But finally, he got down on his knees, and he prayed. And he said, oh, Lord God, I know it's been 15 years since I prayed to you, and I promise you, if you'll get me out of this fix, I won't bother you for another 15 years. Don't wait 15 years to talk to God. Go to God right now. Go to God right now. God wants to hear from you. He loves to hear from you. You parents here this evening, don't you like to hear it when your kids have problems? Don't you want them to come to you when they have problems? You ain't going to turn them away. Of course not. You know how loving your Heavenly Father is? He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. We know that by verse number 4. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Hey, God wants to hear from you. And He did hear David. So we've got to pray to God because He wants to hear from us. God wants to hear from the helpless and the hopeless, and the poor, and the marginalized, and the minorities. All who come to Him, God wants to hear from them. It says in Psalm 69:33, for the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not His prisoners. God wants to hear. Hey, you got problems? Go to God in prayer. You got a contrite, broken heart here this evening? You got problems in your life? You got to go to God in prayer. He wants to hear from you. It says in Psalm 34:15-18, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So God wants to hear from us. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. You're going to get some comfort from prayer. You go to God in prayer. You're going to get some help when you go to God in prayer. You're going to get some peace when you go to God in prayer. We ought to be praying people, folks. Amen. You pray to God like you ought to. That's one way that your faith is manifested out here in this real world. Number two, you ought to be peaceful. Are you at peace here this evening? Peaceful. Look at verse number 5. He says, I laid me down and slept. Man, he's on the run from his son. He's got an army after him. And they got swords and knives, and they want to behead him. And they want to take his kingdom from him. God gave him a little bit of peace there, didn't he? God gave him a little bit of rest there, didn't he? You want some rest here this evening? Christians ought to be people of peace, by the way. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. The Bible says, I'm trying to think of it, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Romans 5 and verse number 1. Sorry about that, folks. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Christians ought to be people of peace, shouldn't they? You got peace in your heart here this evening? You ought to be. As a matter of fact, Paul the Apostle said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be ye thankful. So we ought to be people of peace. David had enough peace that day to get a full night's rest. Even with his enemies coming after him on his tail, my goodness, he was a man of peace. God gave him peace. You ever been in a situation that you worried about? Didn't know what was going to happen? Didn't know what the future was going to be and what happened? Man, couldn't get any rest. Couldn't get any sleep. I've been anxious before, I'll tell you what. And you know what? That was wrong of me to do. I couldn't get any sleep. I tossed and I turned and I could not get any rest, none whatsoever. I woke up the next morning after about 2 or 3 hours of sleep. I thought, man, that was crazy. I shouldn't have been worried about all that. You know, by the time I got to the end of that whole ordeal, I shouldn't even have been worried about it at all. You know what we ought to do? Give our cares to the Lord. Turn our troubles over to the Lord, and it'll give us peace. I was teaching this morning to the children over there at the children's church and telling them about Daniel and how he was thrown into the den of lions. And boy, the King Darius, he stayed up all night because he was worried about old Daniel down there in the lion's den. He was worried and fretting over that. He said, man, I don't want Daniel to die. And he couldn't get any sleep, didn't eat nothing, man. He was worried and anxious. He woke up the next morning down to the cave where all of the lions and Daniel was, and he yelled down that cave and he said, hey, old Daniel, you still alive down there? And by golly, he was. He was. Why? Because God had protected him and watched over him. Man, old Darius, he should have had the same kind of faith that old Daniel did, right? Christians ought to be the one to have peace in this world. We ought to be the ones that have peace. We're going to have peace in the midst of a trial, even with a trial perhaps as a result of sin. Why is old Absalom against David anyway? David's reaping what he sowed throughout his life. And now Absalom's on his tail. Sometimes our trials and troubles can be a result of our own sinfulness. But God can give us peace in the midst of those sometimes. We go to God in prayer and with a contrite heart, and He'll help us out. He'll give us some peace, even when it's a mess of our own making. So God gives us peace. David repented in Psalm chapter number 51 for all that he had done, and God had chastised him and done all of those things, but God gave him a little bit of peace during the midst of that. We can have peace in our lives in the midst of trials because guess what? God is on the throne and He is in control. He's in control. David knew he had enemies, but he knew that God was greater than his enemies. We have enemies here this evening, but God's greater than our enemies. It says in 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got someone a lot greater than anything out there in this world, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. You think about Jesus Christ and how they were in a storm one time, in the middle of a storm, and the disciples were worried sick about what was going to happen. Where was Jesus Christ? He was down in the bottom of the ship, and He was sleeping. He wasn't worried a bit. Man, I tell you what, He'd take care of the whole thing. Disciples came down there and said, Master, Don't you know what's going on down here? We're going to perish if you don't do something. He woke up and said, man, what's going on here? Yo, ye of little faith. Don't you have faith? So we can have rest in this life and peace in this life. We have to remember who is in control. I tell you what, when old David woke up the next morning after he had got that long night of rest and peace, he woke up and he was fearless. He said, man, I'm going to take on the world today. We see in verse number 6, he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. You know what? We can be fearless when we're people of faith. If our faith is genuine, we can be fearless in times of trouble. David was surrounded with his enemies, but he says, I will not be afraid. Boy, he made a commitment, a determination to keep his eyes focused upon the Lord there that day. So we may look around. We may think, man, we're in the minority. Not everyone in America believes the Bible. Most people don't believe the Bible. But guess what? We can still be fearless and still go forward because we have somebody that's going to help us in this life. We can be fearless because God is the one who strengthens us. Where do we get help from in our life? It's from the Lord. It's from God. God strengthens us. You know what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'll give you strength to go forward in this life. When times get tough and hard, you know, put your faith in Jesus, and He'll help us and strengthen us. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 and 29, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. So God's going to give us the strength and help us to go forward and not to be fearless in this life. You know, old David knew exactly who his help was in time of trouble. Since the verse number 3 of our text, but Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. And he knew exactly who was going to help him out and give him the strength to go forward. And that was the Lord. And we can be fearless because we know exactly what's going to happen in the end. You know what? We got the Bible. And the Bible tells us exactly where the devil's going to end up. The Bible tells us exactly where we're going to end up. We're going to end up in heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us we're already seated together with Him in heavenly places. How's that for a guarantee? Amen. Good enough, huh? Amen. It says in verse number 3 that God was His shield, glory, and the lifter up of His head, and the end of His enemies is found in verse number 7. O my God, for Thou, O Lord, save me, O my God, for Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. He says, man, it's already done. God has smitten mine enemies. So God's given us some strength and some help in time of trouble. It may seem like the devil's gotten the upper hand on you at some point. Maybe the world's gotten the upper hand on you. Maybe you have trouble in this life, but God can help you to make it through. Salvation, the Bible says, belongs to God. Now, how is that going to play out in your everyday life? What's it going to look like? Well, we're going to be people of prayer. We're going to go to God at the first sign of trouble. We're going to be peaceful when things get hard and things get difficult. And then we're going to be able to be fearless and go forward in those times of trouble and despair. Let's pray.